Luke chapter 2, verse 46. And it came to pass after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. We're taking a look at the 3 days throughout the scriptures to see it as a parable. And here again, this was an initial parable of the 3 days of his death. So they sought him then too, and then he was not there, and then on the third day he was resurrected in the Luke thing. It's all over in Genesis 40:1-18. It's Joseph interprets the dreams of the baker and the cupbearer, and it all has to do with this mystery of the 3 days. In Exodus, they wanted to travel 3 days outside of the borders of Egypt in order to perform their sacrifices. Again, if you think about it, you can see the parable of Christ's death and resurrection. There was also let's go there. Let's go to Exodus 10. We're just going to look at a few of these. There's a jillion of them. A jillion is probably a little bit of a hyperbole. Exodus 10. This is the plague of darkness. It follows the plague of locusts. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And again, from the standpoint of the world lies in darkness. They can't see. It's darkness that can be felt. But Israel had the light. The true Israel had the light always. Amen. Let's go to, this is an honor of John, one of John's songs. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 21. Do it again. I'm at 2 Chronicles trying to find it.
They should separate 1 and 2 Chronicles and put 2 Chronicles in another old place in the Bible. And then there wouldn't be that confusion.
That's a good idea. Why don't you talk to somebody about that?
The Bible moguls.
And Satan provoked, stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. It's just a normal thing to do. You want to number Israel. And then it goes on by the numbering them. And then in verse 7, and God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. And this thing was wanting to number the people. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee 3 things to choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days, the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in that land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me now fall into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of men. And so the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, behold, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed it, It is enough, stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched over Jerusalem. And David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on the people, that they should be plagued. And the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set an altar, etc., etc. So it was 3 days was enough to quench King David's pride, as in John's psalm. Let's go to Esther, chapter 4.
Genesis, Exodus, Esther. Where is Esther?
Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther.
If I don't have my tabs, I don't know how to get
it. It's where all the wine stains are. In my Bible, anyway. On every page. Esther 4. This is when they called for a fast, in verse 15, and then they did it. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. So, again, there was this 3 days of fear, just as it was with the disciples and the people that believed on him. But Esther said, if I perish, I perish. Now, for some people, that 3-day period may be 50 years. It doesn't matter, but the point of it is, it has to be the time of waiting when you see no answer until the resurrection is manifest for sure in you and you know it. Amen? Well, we could also go to Jonah, who spent 3 days in the belly of the whale. Again, a parable. Let's go to Matthew 12. Verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. One more, Matthew 26. Verse 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in, and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At last came two false witnesses, and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God, and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, Well, anyway, the one that I want to interest is where he said earlier that I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it again in 3 days. Anyway, you might sometime go through and do a scripture search on 3 days. You'll see, you'll be amazed. Then back to Luke. Chapter 2, verse 46. It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. The temple here is the word hieron, which means the entire complex, not the one that means just the inner temple, the holy place and the most holy place. It's so important to see, and again, I'm going to emphasize it again here. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now that word for temple there just means just means the holy place and the holy of holies. And so many, there's billions of dollars that have been raised because people don't know the difference between the temple and the temple. They're building the hieron with the altar of incense. I mean, with the altar, the brazen altar and all the courts. Because they think that the evil one is going to take, you know, set himself up in the temple, and in that temple over in Israel. But it says you are the temple of the living God. And here, and that word is the same for the holy place and the holy of holies. And now here it says that the evil one shall set him up in that temple, opposing and exalting himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in that temple, showing himself that he's God. And it's critical you understand this, because you are the temple. Amen? All right. Back to Luke. Verse 46. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And again, as we talked about yesterday, after the death, before the death of Gamaliel, when they had this, remember this deal was done only on the Sabbaths or on the feast days, where they sat in the porch of the temple. And the Sanhedrin sat there and allowed the people to, well, before the Sanhedrin or the leader would be seated, and the people would be seated on the ground. But at the time of Christ, after Gamaliel's death, then even the doctors and the Sanhedrin sat on the ground amongst the people that were there just asking questions. And that's where they found Jesus. And in the midst is mesos, which means among them. And it was an informal gathering.
I was thinking that Jesus is like the perfect Bible study student. He comes and he actually listens to what you're saying and then actually asks questions. And
right. Like and provokes.
Totally involved in there. You
know? Yeah, that's what it says. Now the next word, both hearing them. It's to understand what was said. It's akouo, and asking. But it's much more than asking. It's more intensive than asking a simple question. It's coupled with understanding, which we'll get to probably not today, but the word understanding is the word it's a word that just means streaming together, and it's applied to one or more rivers that flow together into a delta. And so this word, synesis, I think. Yeah. Synesis is understanding. It shows that he had the ability in asking the questions to take these disparate facts and put them together in a question that demanded an answer. And that's huge. And that's what, John said, that's the perfect Bible study student. To demand the proof of their questions. And that's what I beg of you to do this, even though I might make fun of you sometimes. I don't feel like talking anymore.
I was thinking of all the times when you have people who listen but don't ask questions. Then there's people who ask questions but aren't listening.
That's right. Because they didn't
to
hear.
To the answers or to what you've been saying, because all they want to do is talk. I don't know, I just had a flash on all the past years of stuff and thinking that's the perfect scenario right there.
On Wednesday nights when both Sharon and Nick are there, it's wonderful because they demand, the asking the questions is that they've heard. And they understand that what does that mean to this apparent disparate fact that they've known all their lives? And it's so it's truly a dialogue instead of a monologue. Amen. When John, this John over here, Mr. Rutledge, when we first started,
here we go.
He was one that demanded answers. And it was wonderful. He would periodically say, "Holy, that's BS." And then he would insist on an answer.
Yeah.
That's what Bloom did all those years when he and I had the private talks. It was wonderful. All right, anybody else have anything? You understand a little bit about where he was and what was going on.
I could have sworn that I saw Gary and Gala.
You did.
Up there, and then
they disappeared.
Like
half the crowd.
They vanished out of our sight.
I suppose they have other things to do.
Gary took her to the airport. She has to be in New York.
Right now, this morning.
All right, take it, big guy.
Well, that would explain the whole deal.
Yeah. And then